Okay, better? All right. John chapter 17 is right towards the end of Jesus praying in the garden. In John chapter 17, I want to look at verse 20 and verse 21. I don't want to take time to give you the background of that prayer and all of that, but this is where Jesus is praying. And I want you to notice he's praying not just for his disciples at that day, but he specifically in John chapter 17, verse 20 and verse 21 says, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, meaning his disciples, but for those who also believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Just two short verses. I want to read them again, just kind of walk them through before we look at Lake Point 101, our new members class, and just kind of the foundation of who we are. It says this, Jesus says to his Father, I do not ask on behalf of these alone, not only for his disciples, but for those also who believe in me through their word. That's you and me. That's those of us who believe in Christ because of the witness of the church, the witness of the disciples, the witness of the word. Verse 21, that they, that's us, may all be one. That means that we can be together in one body, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Now notice, that's a pretty high goal to shoot for. As Jesus and God are one, God wants us to be one. He wants us to know that unity. He wants us to be on the same team. And then he said that they also may be in us. He wants us to be with them, with God and with Christ. He wants us to be walking in unity that way, one mind, one accord, one purpose, together. And then he said, here's the reason, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Now that's a lofty target. But do you know that that's exactly what Jesus commissioned us to do? Go into the world. Not just the community, not just down the street, not just our family, not just us. Go into the world and make disciples. And he's praying to his Heavenly Father. He's saying, look, I'm asking this, God. Father, I'm praying this prayer so that the world may believe. Can I just ask you, have you ever wondered why after 2,000 years, the world has not yet come to Christ? I have a feeling it's because we, the ones that Jesus prayed for, missed the mark. And my ambition tonight, and what I hope I can do tonight, and Jason had a video I was going to show you, and it's a great video, but I don't want to take a time, but basically it's a football coach. And he's giving a talk. You can't see his team until right at the end, but he's giving a talk, and he says some things in his team. He says, who am I? And the team responds with, I'm a champion. And he says some more things, and they say, who says, who am I? They say, I'm a champion. So he drills it into them that they are a champion. And at the end, they're standing at their feet, and they're saying, I'm a champion, I'm a champion. And he's all through it. He's telling them, our belief is going to change who we are. What we believe is going to change who we are. Can I just tell you that what you believe and what I believe will change who we are? To say that we believe that Jesus is Lord and not really believe it means that nothing changes. To say that Jesus is Lord and believe it in our heart means that everything changes. David Platt says, when we believe that Jesus is who he said he was, we must bring all of our rights and lay them at the cross and become enslaved to the one who loved us. In fact, if you read much of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul wrote, and some translations will say, I'm a servant. In many of those cases, he used the word, I am a slave, a bond slave of Jesus Christ. And so who are we? We are servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are his people. We are his church. And what I want to do tonight is I want to give you, many of you know the story, but some of you may not. This is a new members class, and I want to just kind of go through this with you, and I want to help you understand something. This church got started before I came into the picture. God had a plan, but 3 years before I got here, a little group of people got together for a number of reasons. They pulled from another church. They met in the associational office for a period of time, and they were led by God and some coaching from a director of missions, some other things, to begin a church. And some of you are here tonight that were in that very group that started this church. And so got started. There was a man who came, kind of got started with you, and you made it. And God clearly showed that God was at work. He gave you land. He gave you buildings. He gave you a van. He gave you resources. He gave you people. He gave you a pastor and got started. Some things happened, and there came a time when you were just kind of making do, just sort of looking for preachers to come and fill in and just sort of waiting to find a permanent pastor. God, in the meantime, had moved me from where I was, 8 years of good ministry, great ministry, a time of when I thought things were going really, really good, and God said, you're done here, and we came out, and there's a whole long story behind that. I don't want to tell it again tonight. If you're interested, see me or James Esco some night. We can tell you about Isaiah chapter 55 and how God used that verse in both places. But anyhow, God brought me here, and when I came the first Sunday to preach here, the first Sunday I came to preach, I drove in the parking lot. God said in my heart, I just sensed this in my heart, these are sheep who need a shepherd. You're the shepherd. Now, that's the under-shepherd of Jesus Christ. So that's a quick story of how I got here. So last year in January, we relaunched as a church. January 31st last year was our first big day as a church together. We rebirthed last year. We are 1 year, almost, in January, we'll be 1 year into this new birth that we started. We'll be 5 years old as a church, 1 year since our relaunch. And so I want to make sure that we're all on the same page. I want to make sure that you know my heart as pastor. I want to make sure that I help you understand what you've put together. Our deacons, the three deacons that we had at the time, Brother Jackie, who's now watching from heaven's ramparts, and Brother Bob Howell and Roger Owens, were kind enough to join me as a church planter going back through what they had already done once. They went back through boot camp. We went through a two-day boot camp where we looked at everything we believe and how we were formed as a church, how we were organized as a church, and we did some practical lessons, and we put all that together, and we came away from there ready to relaunch, and we had done that in January, and so we started moving forward. Here's why we're doing this tonight. There are two things that you should know. Number one, in our Constitution and bylaws, we are required by law, that's why they're called bylaws, by the way, we're required by law to do this class once a quarter. That doesn't mean we have to do it on Sunday night. We've done it three times. We did it on a non-service night. We did it on a Wednesday night at the same time prayer meeting was going on, and now we're doing it on a Sunday night. The last three quarters we've been doing this. And so we've offered it at different times, and we will continue to offer it at different times, and hopefully we will continue to have new people to go. We need to all get on the same sheet of music, not just the new people who come lately to the game, but we all need to be where they are. And so that's what I want to do tonight. That's one reason, because we're required to do it. Here's a second reason. I've been saying now for months that we need to pick up the pace. You may not realize it. I hope you do. But just outside these walls, there's a 200 by 675 building that's rapidly taking shape. And it's an exciting thing, an exciting time to see. But here's the deal. In just a few short months, 8, 9, 10 months, something like that, but by next September, we have our next anniversary as a church, we have almost 300-seat sanctuary, 291, I think, is the actual number of seats. Almost 300-seat sanctuary. This crowd in that sanctuary is going to get lost. I'm just telling you, we're going to get lost. And if this is us on a Sunday night in that sanctuary, we're going to get lost. So we got to pick up the pace. We have got to take to heart what Jesus prayed for us. First of all, that we all get on the same team. And if you're here and you don't really know what Lake Point's about, you're going to hear that tonight. We're going to walk through this pretty quickly. I'm going to try to move fairly quickly with you. I hope you'll be a little patient because I'll probably run a little past 7:30, but not too much. I'm going to get you out just as quick as I can. And what I want to do is I want to start with our mission statement, which answers the question, why Lake Point? Our mission statement, by the way, and our vision statement are posted on the wall back there. And you'll find the mission statement's a little bit longer than what I'm going to give you. But what we did at that workshop, that boot camp that the deacons and I went to, is we took that mission statement and we compressed it down to say the same thing it says on the wall back there in a more concise manner, if we could. We took our vision statement, which is a whole page, and compressed it down as best we could to a simple short statement. We're going to begin with a mission statement. Here's what it says. Lake Point Baptist Church exists, listen to this, to bring glory to God by loving Him and sharing the gospel through a life of worship, service, missions, fellowship, and intentional evangelism. We exist, make no mistake, we exist to bring glory to God. That's our mission. That's why we're here. We are not here to glorify us. We are not here to build up a pastor or a worship team or a church or a name. We're here to glorify God. And our mission is to bring glory to Him. And the way we do that, we have said we will do that through a life of worship. Brother Anthony's been doing a great job. I am so thankful that God brought Brother Anthony on because he sees this the same way I do. Worship is not what you do in that 20-minute segment on Sunday morning when we're having what they say the worship service. No, it's not even the hour on Sunday morning. Worship is what you do with your life. Everything you do should be worship. You should worship God in thanksgiving. You should worship God in prayer. You should worship God in witness. You should worship God. And when you sing on Sunday morning or Sunday night or whenever when you're worshiping, that ought to just be the outflow of what's already in your heart. And so it's a life of worship, and it's a life of service, a life of missions, fellowship, and intentional evangelism. That's why. That's our mission, to bring glory to God. And then Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 tells us why that's important. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18 says, in the Holman Christian, by the way, the Holman Christian Standard Bible, without revelation, people run wild. But not one who listens to instruction will be happy. Have you ever noticed that there are some times when there are churches and it seems like they're going in 400 different directions? I mean, they may be doing some good stuff, but it's like they're going in different directions. Everybody's, some people over here doing this, some people over here doing that, and it doesn't seem to all fit together, and they're just sort of there, and they're not really having much impact, and if they close their doors tomorrow, nobody would really notice or care. It's not the way it should be. When there is a vision, when people catch a vision, they are blessed. They are happy. They're to be envied when they catch a vision. In that video that Jason was going to show, there's a team, and they haven't really been doing all that well, but they're facing an important game, and what the coach does for them is he gives them a vision. They begin to see themselves as being able to win, as being champions in their game. And at the end, you get this little clip that says, after this speech, they went out and won. That's a short version of what it said, but they went out and won. And that's what we as a church need to do. That's what God's people need to do. We need to wake up and realize who we are in Christ. When Jesus prayed, do you know his Father heard him? He did. And remember when he raised Lazarus from the dead? Then there's a whole bunch of, I could preach a whole bunch of messages. I'm going to try to just move through this fairly quickly. But I just tell you, when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, you remember how he prayed? I mean, he's there. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. He's in the tomb. He's wrapped up in grave clothes and stuff. And he comes. There's a rock there. And he tells the people, get the rock out of the way. They do that. And then Jesus said, he didn't go to on his knees. And he just stood before the Father. And he said, Father, I thank you that you hear me. And you have always heard me. I'm just praying this prayer now so that those who are around me can know that you hear me. And then he said, Lazarus, come forth. When Jesus prayed, his Father heard him. So when Jesus prayed for you and me, we just read it in John 17, 21, that they may be one, God heard him. And God's at work. He's working to build us into one. And I'm fully convinced that's why God put this church here. Because he's given us, the people that he brings into this church, an opportunity to do what he wants to do through his Son, Jesus Christ, in answer to that prayer, to make us one. So we have a mission. We have a reason for being, to bring glory to God. If somebody says, what's the mission? What's the mission of your church? Why do you exist? We exist to bring glory to God. That's it. It's pretty easy, right? Then we have a vision. What do we look like? When we're bringing glory to God, what does it look like when we're actually doing what our mission says that we're going to do? Here's a vision statement. It's the vision of Lake Point Baptist Church to obey the great commandment to love one another and to carry out the great commission to make disciples of all people groups. Others will see us as a light in our community, an excited, friendly, and accepting church, knowledgeable in explaining the gospel, and involved in a variety of ministries and service. Now, if you don't get all this down tonight, I didn't give you a handout, don't worry. We've actually got a fairly lengthy handout. It's got all the stuff in it. But I just want you to know this. The vision is that when we are doing what our mission says, bringing glory to God, here's what it looks like. The world around us will see us fulfilling the great commandment, loving one another and loving God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. They will see us actually doing the great commission, going and making disciples of people groups, of every people group, beginning right here at home and going out to the rest of the world. They will see us doing that when we are doing what God's put us here to do. That's the vision that we have. The great commandment, in case you don't know, is summed up in Galatians 5:14. I know that's probably not where you were thinking. Jesus taught about, you know, the first and greatest commandment is to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. That's actually from Deuteronomy. Jesus quoted it. And then he said the second commandment, like the first, and that is that you should love your neighbors yourself. And that's also Old Testament teaching that Jesus revitalized. And so the Apostle Paul, early church, when he got it, he wrote to the Galatian church and he said this: the whole law is fulfilled in one word, in one statement, you shall love your neighbors yourself, because you can't do that unless you love God with everything you have. The only way you can love your neighbor the way you really love yourself is to first love God with everything you have. The Great Commission is Matthew chapter 28, verse 19 through 20. Then that says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Now that's our vision. That's what we look like. We look like a church that's actually doing those two things. And did you know that already we're making great strides in those areas? As far as I know, and there may be some visitors that I didn't get a chance to talk to or that didn't follow up with me and tell me, but the great news is, so far, when people have come and have experienced church here, they have said to me, they've said, wow, that's something special. Something exciting's going on there. That's good. And you know, there are a lot of people who come here who are not members of this church and probably will never be members of this church. But you'll see where they fit later on. They're still part of this church because they're part of the community. They're part of the people who come and are involved and their lives are influenced and affected by this church. And the good news is they're seeing already what our vision is becoming reality. They're seeing that we really do love God and that we really do love each other and we love them. They're seeing that. And maybe we can do a little better job at making disciples, but I think they're beginning to experience some of that as well. Okay, so we have the why we exist. We have the vision of what it looks like when we're fulfilling God's purpose. Let me give you the strategy. Some of you have asked about what is Club 20, and we've got it showing on the slides in the mornings. Jason's done a good job of updating those things, and so every Sunday you kind of see this reminder. But Club 20 is the strategy that we relaunched with in January last year. Come, let us build. 5-year plan, 2020, Club 20. Come, let us build 20, Club 20. So when you hear the word Club 20, here's what that means. Come, let us build. God has laid in my heart, here's how we do what it is that we said we're going to do, our mission, bring glory to God, the vision, what it looks like when we're doing that. Here's the strategy to actually implement that. We need to build. We need to come, let us build. Come, the greatest invitation you'll ever get. Let us, doing it together, becoming one in Christ, and then let us build. And build is actually building. And there are four things we're to build. Faith, that's relationship, making disciples. Leaders, and you heard about the leadership class earlier, and we'll talk more about that. Ministries, that's the way we serve our community and those around us. And then facilities, and you see that going on out there. So already we're making great strides in these things. By the way, in case you were wondering, there's a Bible basis for come, let us build. The book of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, without preaching a message, let me just tell you, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the place where the Prince of Peace was intended to dwell, lay in ruins. And so there's a team goes down, they see the city, they come back, they bring a report, Nehemiah's moved in his heart, he's a cupbearer to a king, he gets an opportunity to tell the king what's wrong, why he's down and downcast, and so then he gets commissioned, he actually gets a commission, he gets a letter from the king to go and go back to his homeland and do what he can to rebuild the city. So then he says to the people, he says this in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 17, the English Standard Version. He says, then I said to them, you see the trouble we're in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins with its gates burned. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer suffer derision. Now don't miss this. Here's the reason I chose to do this class on a Sunday night. The world around us looks at church the way it has always been and laughs. That's just a harsh reality. The world around us, the generations that are coming along behind us, look at church the way it's always been. They don't care. It makes no difference to them. What this world needs is a church that dares to trust Jesus and take Him at His word. You are not defeated. You are victorious in Christ. You are the victor. You are the winner. You're not the outcast. You're not the one that has to run from society. You're not the one that has to hide. You're not the one that has to be ashamed. You're the one that can stand boldly and proclaim that Jesus Christ is Lord. We just need to do that. So that's the call. That's the cry of my heart. Come, let's build a church. Let's build a relationship with God that when people see, they will say, surely that's a people whose God is the Lord. It's already happening. Wayne was telling me the other day, he was out here on the building site, and there was a vehicle went by. He said, I'm not going to tell you who it was. I know who it was, but I'm not going to tell you. He said, but they went by, and they slowed down and looked because they're keeping an eye on what's happening. Do you know what? When God is at work, people take notice. And if you want people to take notice more than that building out there, when they see something like that happening in our life as a collective body of believers, when they see us becoming the organism that God wants us to be, actually making disciples, when they see lives being transformed, when they see drug addicts being recovered from the addiction, when they see alcoholics being recovered from the addiction, when they see marriages being put back together, when they see those things happening, they won't just drive by and slow down. They'll want some of that. They'll want some of that. It isn't the first time it's happened in history. There's evidence in the past. I remember when I was part of Teen Challenge, there was a thing about that time. The government was doing a methadone plan, and they did a study of the methadone treatment that the government was funding and spending millions and millions of taxpayer dollars on, and the Teen Challenge program, and they tried to see what the differences were, because there were a lot of things that were alike. They pulled the people out of the environment they were in, put them in safe environments, put them through some training stuff, tried to teach them life skills and all that stuff. So they were looking and said, what's the difference? On the one hand, the government was taking methadone and giving the drug methadone to people who were trying to come off the drug heroin and other drugs, and they were when they would get out, they would go back to the drug heroin because they couldn't get methadone anymore. And in the other side of the coin, the people who were in Teen Challenge were getting people, and they were teaching about Jesus. They were coming to faith in Christ, and they would get out of the program, and they would continue in faith in Christ. So the government said, what's the difference? What is it that you have in Teen Challenge that we don't have in our methadone program? And you know what they said? They made a movie about it. It's called The Jesus Factor. Folks, when we hear God calling us, come, let us build, that's not my cry. That's God's cry. It's my cry because He put it in my heart. And so that strategy is not just something I said, you know, well, let's see, what's a little catchy thing? No. It's actually out of Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. Okay, so you may not be able to remember all that. Every Sunday on your bulletin, on the front cover of your bulletin, all that stuff that I just said is in three little lines right there on your bulletin. So if you just keep your bulletin handy and somebody says, hey, what's Lake Point Baptist Church all about? You can tell them. Reaching people for Jesus Christ, teaching people about Jesus Christ, and proclaiming the Word of God. That's all that stuff we just talked about in three simple bullet statements. That's what we call a mantra. That's what we should be chanting. What do you do at Lake Point? We reach people for Jesus Christ, we teach people about Jesus Christ, and we proclaim the Word of God. I started tonight to have a little interactive session and say, okay, say it with me, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to tell you, take your bulletin home and practice. Stand in front of the mirror. Ask yourself the question, what do you do at Lake Point Baptist Church? We're reaching people for Jesus, teaching people about Jesus, and we're proclaiming the Word of God. You just did an elevator pitch to somebody asking you about the church. And you can get them interested in what God's doing. Really? How are you reaching people for Jesus? Then you can tell them. Well, we have a program called GLOW, or a team that we call GLT. GLT. And my tongue got twisted. GLT is go, love, and tell. That's how we're reaching people for Jesus. We're going out there and where they are, and we're loving them, and we're telling them about Jesus. Okay, well, how are you teaching people about Jesus? Well, we have Sunday school, and we teach people about Jesus there, and then our preacher teaches sometimes, so you can answer those questions just intuitively. That's what we do. We reach people for Jesus, we teach people about Jesus, and we proclaim the Word of God. Hopefully, you're getting in your mind a framework that describes the body of believers, which is Lake Point Baptist Church. You're beginning to see who we are and what we look like. Our prayer and our hope is that every member of the body here will exhibit certain core values. Core values are things that really matter down inside. And before I ever came along, this church came up with seven, actually eight, but two words are kind of together, seven core values. Here they are: faithfulness, discipleship, truth, honesty and integrity. That's the two that are kind of the same word. Accountability, service, and family. I'm not going to take time tonight to go through the biblical background for all of those things, but those are core values. Those are things that we hold dear. So you should know what they are. You should know that we, as a church, we hold these values very dear. What I will tell you is that right at the top of that list is a core value that runs throughout all the others. Did you notice it? Number one on the list of core values in Lake Point Baptist Church is faithfulness. The Bible tells us that it is required of a steward. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it is required of stewards that they be found faithful. God has given us everything that we have. We're to be stewards of what... This is not ours. These buildings, we say, you know, hey, they gave us these buildings for a dollar piece. That's wonderful. But they're not really ours. They're God's. This is God's house. This is God's property. It's God's land. It's all God's. Your life is God's. And so we need to be stewards of that. And in everything that we do, we need to be faithful. So what that means is in every activity, whenever we have. Now, listen, that doesn't mean necessarily that you have to be here every time the doors of the church are open, but you ought to be faithful. If you're not here when the doors are open, there ought to be a good reason. If it's youth night and we're just having a bunch of youth here, you don't necessarily have to come to that unless you want the youth to know that you really care about them. Then you could come, right? If we're having a midnight service and you don't stay up at midnight, by the way, December 31st, we're going to have a watch night service. Beginning at 11 o'clock, we're going to pray the old year out and the new year in. And I know some of you don't stay up. That's okay. That's okay. But you can pray for us at home. And if you find yourself up, come on down, join us. We'll be here anyway. So you don't necessarily have to be here every time the doors are open, but what you should be is absolutely faithful in everything that you do. Faithful in your marriage, faithful in your Bible study, faithful in your prayer life. Everything should be faithful. You should be faithful in all things that you do. And so the core values are important. I'm not going to go through all of them. I will tell you again that faithfulness is the one that runs throughout all of them. I want to talk for just a minute about Lake Point itself. I want to show you an organizational chart. Have you got it on the screen? Yeah. I know what you're saying. Where's the lines, right? Whenever you see an organizational chart, you always see, you know, there's a big, and there's lines going out, and there's lines going here and there. There are no lines on this chart. That's intentional. The body of Christ, it is His body. So He is the head. And then you see pastors, deacons, and members. I've got that there sort of on a line. I couldn't put them all on the same line or I would have. But here's the thing. We're all members of one body. We all plug in to that one body. And Christ is the head. The pastor's not the head. The deacon's not the head. We say we're congregation led because we do things by majority rule and all that stuff as Baptists. But the congregation is not the head. Christ is the head. And here's where congregations get into trouble. When we think that because we are Baptists and our Baptist polity is that we vote on things. And so when we think that polity, that majority rules, when we start thinking that's the way the church is run by majority rule, we're headed for trouble. Because Christ is not always in the majority in terms of numbers, but He is always the majority because He's the only one who is in charge. And so what we should do as Baptists, what we should understand as Baptists, is that a business meeting is vitally important, and that when we come, we should come prayerfully seeking the will and the mind of the head, who is Christ. And what we should long for in our business meetings is that the vast majority of people would see the mind of Christ and would all agree together that that is the mind of Christ, and then Christ rules, and it looks like the congregation's ruling, everybody's happy. Because He's the only one who is a big I. Other than Christ, there's no big I and little you in church. You may be the newest member of this congregation. You may be the last one who stepped forward and said, I want to become a member, and was received into membership in this church. You are just as important and just as vital as the most senior person here who's been here from the very start. You are all important in the mind of Christ. But I want you to notice two other things. That last line, participants in the community. Some churches never get this. And it's vitally important that we get it. Lake Point Baptist Church is not just the people who are members. There are others that we affect. There are people who come because they're family of members. There are people who come because they are neighbors of members. There are people who come because they live in this community, or they come to this community when they're at the lake or whatever, and they don't have any other place to go, so they come here. And did you know that our task, all the things that we do, loving our neighbors like we love ourselves, which means that we love God with everything we have to recognize those people are important. They matter to God. We can't overlook someone because they came and they're not a member. We can't say, you know, well, we can't. I mean, they're not really a member, so we don't need to. Yes, we do. Whatever it is that we do as a church for members, we need to do for everybody that this church touches. And so if we hear of a neighbor down the road that their house burns down, we ought to think about that as one of our members' house burned down. We ought to do the best we can to help them restore and rebuild. And when they say, hey, why are you doing this? I'm not even a part of your church. It's okay. You're part of God's kingdom. And God loves you. And we want you to know that God loves you. Well, I'm not coming to your church. I'm Methodist or I'm Lutheran or I'm Presbyterian. That's okay. That's all right. We just want you to know God loves you. And we love you. And so we've got to realize that those folks are just important. That's why when you think about the body, don't just think about pastors, deacons, and members. Think about everybody that's in the body of Christ. Think about our community. All right, they're all one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12 gives us a picture of the body. I've got the New Living Translation. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12, the New Living Translation says this: the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Now you must know that the church is a spiritual entity. God has called us together in a spiritual sense by calling us to himself and by having us accept him as Lord and Savior and then baptized, and we become members in that sense. That's a spiritual thing and a spiritual body. But we are also a legal body. In order to hold title to property and some other things, and in order to have protection against lawsuits and that kind of thing in our society, you have to be a legal entity. And we are that. So there's a legal side of Lake Point Baptist Church. That's the legal entity. That's the articles of incorporation and the paper documents that give us the right to hold title to property and those things. But we're also a fellowship of believers, Christ followers on the journey of faith. And in order to do business, we organize into teams and small groups for engaging in the work of the kingdom. And you can think of us, when you think of this body of believers, as really, here's a new word, tripartite. Ever heard that word? Three-part being. In the scripture, you find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, the New American Standard says, "Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you entirely, and may your spirit and soul and body be preserved complete without blame at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ." I don't want to get into the theology of that, but let me just, there's three parts listed there: spirit, soul, and body. And so you can think of Lake Point this way. The body of Lake Point, that's the people. When you think of the body, that's the people. The soul of Lake Point can be thought of as the mission, the vision, the mantra, the core values exhibited in its people. One of the reasons I took time to recognize Margaret and Jack Corley this morning, 60 years of marriage together, faithfulness to one another for 60 years. In this day and age, that is no small achievement. That's a significant thing. And that speaks highly of the values that they have as people, as husband and wife. And they happen to be part of Lake Point. And that's exhibiting the spirit, the core values, the soul of who we are. Terry Grimes this morning, recognized by his company, one of four winners of the Founders Award. That's a wonderful achievement. And there may be others I'm not aware of, but if you're shining for Jesus out there in the world somewhere, if God has got you in a place where your light is coming on and people are seeing, we need to know that as a body. So first of all, we can pray for you, but that we can give God the glory for what he's doing through you in the world, because that's how Lake Point carries out its soul. That's how its soul is seen in around us. The body's the people, but the soul is that the core values and the life of the people. And then the spirit, that's the spirit of God. That's what people say when they come in. They say, man, I felt something here that I haven't felt in a long time. What is that? It's the spirit. It's the spirit of God. It's the Holy Spirit of God. I can't manufacture it. You can't manufacture it. God has to give it. And we don't ever want to lose that. We want to guard that. Now, the laws of our land require certain things of an entity if we're going to function. So we have to, in order to hold title and all that stuff, we have to incorporate, and we've done that. I don't have a slide for this one, but there's this thing we call bylaws. And bylaws is a phrase. But here's the reason it's called bylaw. When you organize articles of incorporation and you put these things in your in your formative documents. They're called bylaws because when you put them in your formative document, you're required by law to do them. And what that means is, if you don't do them and you've got it in your bylaws that you do them, and you don't do them, if you ever get in a situation where there's a question about you as a church, if you're ever sued, the judge will look at that and say, well, you don't actually abide by these things anyway, so I'm going to throw them out, and as a judge, I'm just going to render. So now you're in the hands of what may be a secular judge without any protection of your corporation. That's why it's important that we understand what our bylaws are all about. And there's some significant things in our bylaws that you should be aware of. One of them is that our bylaws establish the Bible as the basis of our faith. The Holy Bible, our bylaws clearly say, our faith is not based on what our pastor says. Our faith is not based on what the Southern Baptists say. Our faith is not based on any of that. Our faith is based on what the Holy Bible says. And so we need to know that. That's why when we talk about Bible study or Sunday school, it's important to be a part of that. It's important to get involved with studying and learning and knowing the Word of God and being able to skillfully handle the Word of God. The Bible says that we should study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It's why we need to, you know, somebody would say, well, why should I go to Sunday school? So that you can learn the Word of God, because that's the basis for our faith. That's what serves as foundation of our faith. Our bylaws establish some other things. It says that that we accept the Baptist faith and message of June the 14th, 2000. If you don't know what that is, you should. You should know what the Baptist faith and message of June the 14th, 2000 says, because that's what we say we accept as our fundamentals of faith, if you will. And by the way, they're pretty good. I don't have any problem with that Baptist faith and message of June 14th, 2000. It's pretty significant. It tells what we believe about God right out of the Bible. It tells what we believe about sin right out of the Bible. It tells all those things. Right? And there's some important things in there about what we believe about marriage, for instance. What we believe about family. Some pretty important things in there. About 18 articles, if I remember right. I may have the number off a little bit. It also contains our church covenant. A number of you may not even know what the church covenant is. It's posted on the wall back there. And it says some specific things that you should be aware of, because it says this is who we are. It's what we do. One of the challenges in the world today, and one of the reasons the world sees no power in the church, is because the church is no different than the world. The people who are naming the name of Christ look like the world, act like the world, talk like the world, do whatever the world does, and there's no difference. So to a lost person, the question when you say to them, hey, why don't you come to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? They say, why? I got a friend over here who is a Christian, and they do the same things I do. They go to the same places I go. They watch what I watch. They do what I do. Why accept Jesus? Well, you don't want to go to hell. I'm not sure hell's there. See, that takes God to change their mind about that. But one of the things, when they see a difference in you, when they see you living a different way than the world, and they discover that you have joy that they don't have. Because I got to tell you, folks, people whose joy is in a football team sometimes crash and burn. Probably not a good day to bring that up, huh? Okay. I'm meddling now. But seriously, when you put your joy in anything other than God, sometimes you crash and burn because it just runs out. And so we need to study to know who we are as a people and what we believe, and we need to act differently, we need to look differently, and we need to look like God wants us to look. That doesn't necessarily mean that you have to all get a haircut like mine. Some of you couldn't get a haircut like mine. But, you know, we have to look like God wants us to look. Don't be afraid to be different in the world. Listen, different's not so bad. Just go out among the lost people. You will see they don't care about being different. I mean, I remember a girl who came to church one time. She was dressed in she didn't come here, the church in North Carolina, but she came to a church in Charlotte, and she was in a black leather outfit. And she had purple hair, except for right down the middle, there was a green, fluorescent green mohawk strip right down the middle. And all kinds of gaudy earrings hanging on. She was different. Very different. But you know what? She came into a church where the Spirit of the Lord was so alive that very morning she gave her life to Christ. All that makeup ran down her face and all that stuff. And she was so moved that right then she wanted to cancel the rest of her singing tour and stay right there in that church. The pastor counseled her, you really can't do that. You need to finish that tour, and then once you finish that tour, come back. And she did. She finished the tour, and then she came back. Her life was forever changed. She sang a song. I'll never forget it. It said, "Is there a doctor in the house?" Our bylaws also declare the church to be a sovereign, autonomous Baptist church, self-governing on all matters of majority in the body of members. Can I just tell you that nobody, the Southern Baptist Convention doesn't direct what we do? We do. The State Board of Missions doesn't direct what we do? We do. We're an independent, autonomous body, and we get to do that as the Lord leads us. It also recognizes that we cooperate with other churches, and that's just something we need to know. I'll talk more about that in other settings. Matthew chapter 22, verse 21 tells us that we should give God that which belongs to God, and we should give to the state that which is Caesar's. That's why we have a spiritual body and a legal body. We have to do what Caesar requires or the state requires, so we do that. That's why there's two different things. But you should be aware, as part of Lake Point, there's two bodies here. There's the legal body and the spiritual body. Okay, moving back to spiritual things, I want to talk to you about our two ordinances real quick. The first is believer's baptism. The second is communion or the Lord's Supper. So let me talk about believer's baptism first. Somebody said, why do you have this thing called believer's baptism? Why do you call it believer's baptism? It's because in our understanding of the Bible, salvation comes first. Baptism is not salvation. Baptism is a picture, a type of what God has done, but it's not the saving part. And we find that in several places in Scripture. I want to give you one. You can do some other. Acts chapter 8, verse 12 and verse 13. It's a story that the church is growing in Acts. And in Acts chapter 8, verse 12 and 13, the New American Standard says, "But when they believed Philip, preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were being baptized, men and women alike." That's verse 12. So they believed Philip's preaching the good news about the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they were baptized, men and women alike. Verse 13 says, "Even Simon," who was a magician kind of guy, "even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip. And as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed." So in that one text, there's a whole bunch of others to study believer's baptism. But essentially what I want you to see is, in each case, believing comes first, baptism comes second. And then it said there about Simon, it says he was, after he believed, after being baptized, he continued on with Philip, and as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. So all the involvement in offices in the church and those kind of things naturally follow the first two, believing first, then being baptized, then all the other things as you grow in your walk of faith. And so that's believer's baptism in a nutshell. And secondly, communion or the Lord's Supper. Luke chapter 22, verse 19, one verse out of that Lord's Supper thing, it said, "When Jesus had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" And that last phrase, "do this in remembrance of me," it begins a teaching that later the church, when Paul would render that, he would say, "as often as we do this." And so we're to do that fairly often. And here in our church, we do it once a quarter. Not on a set time, but once a quarter. And so we're going to be observing the Lord's Supper next on December the 24th, Christmas Eve. We'll have a special, and it'll be a special, communion service on Christmas Eve, December 24th. And we do that once a quarter. We'll have a communion service. And each time we do it, I always try to do it a little different just so that it doesn't become routine. Because notice what Jesus said about the Lord's Supper. "Do this in remembrance of me." We ought to take time to remember the Lord each time we celebrate communion. Okay, let me wrap up. One final aspect of the body of believers at Lake Point. Just as your body consists of systems, you have members, you also have systems. You have your nervous system, you have your circulatory system, you have your muscular system, you have your skeletal system, and you could go on, and I don't know exactly how many systems there are in the human body, but there's a whole bunch of them, right? They're all systems. They're parts that make up a whole thing. So your circulatory system, for instance, is your heart and the vessels and veins that run throughout your body and the blood and all that stuff that's involved in getting oxygen to your body. So all those little pieces make up the whole system, the circulatory system. In the same manner, the church has systems because we're a body. We're a body, so we have systems. I want to give you eight systems of a healthy church. They're going to be on the screen. And you'll see the first four here, the worship planning system. I just want to talk through them just quickly. I'm not going to go through all of them in detail, but you may not realize this, but it's all about Sunday morning. Everything we do is about Sunday morning, because here's why. In most cases, the most likely opportunity we're going to have to influence anyone in their walk of faith, the most probable place that we're going to get to do that is 1 hour or so on Sunday morning. So we have a system in place, and actually we need to tweak it some, but we have a system that leads up to that, and everything is about Sunday. So as a member of the church, as a participant of the church, as somebody who's involved in the church, you just need to know that the game time is Sunday morning at 10 o'clock. Everything leading up to that. So Sunday morning, we should have our best time of connecting with God and enabling others to experience God in a special way. It's all about Sunday morning. So that means before Sunday morning, we need to be doing some prayer. That's why we have prayer meeting on Wednesday night, start getting ready for Sunday morning. And hopefully you take some time between Wednesday night and Sunday morning to get ready. I know Brother Anthony does, because he's put together a worship program. The guys and gals that are involved in getting the slides ready and all that stuff, they're involved. And Leroy's printing out bulletins, making sure they're in place. And so there's some people that are involved. But if you're not already involved in preparing, realize this. You're a part of that system. You're a part of the worship planning system. The evangelism system is how we reach people. And there's a whole bunch of pieces to that. There's people who actually do the witness. There's people who prepare for the witness and other things. The ministry system is how we serve. And we need to take a look at that. We need to look at things that we're doing that serve our community. Because if we're the body of Christ, let me say it this way. Did you notice that the rest of the world noticed when Jesus left? All of time, all of history is still divided by that single life. The body of Christ, Jesus Christ. When he was here on this earth, wherever he was, attention was focused there. There were always crowds where he was. And when he was crucified, there was a crowd there. When he resurrected, there was a crowd there. Everything that Jesus did impacted the world. So much so that all of history is divided by that one single life. Before Christ and in the year of our Lord, his life influenced his world. Our Lord Jesus Christ gave us an example. Guess what we're supposed to do as a church? Impact our world. And the church ought to take notice of what happens to us. If we close our doors, the community around us should be in panic because we close our doors. Right now, that's happening about 900 times a year. Churches closing. 900 churches, about 900 churches a year closing. Do the math. Figure out how many a month. And most of the time when they close their doors, nobody cares. That's not the way it should be. We should be impacting our community, our world, so much that they're concerned about us, that they're watching what happens, that they want to see us succeed, that they want to see us blessed of God because we're a blessing to them. There's an assimilation system. That's how we incorporate people into the body, moving a first-time guest all the way through the process of becoming a committed follower of Christ. That's what assimilation does. It moves a first-time guest all the way through the process of becoming a committed follower of Christ. Of course, the Holy Spirit has to be involved in that work, but he's part of that assimilation system, as he is part of all of them. There's a small group system. Currently at Sunday school, we've got a ladies' Bible group that's going or about to start up again. It's ongoing, and it's in between sessions right now. We've got a leadership class that's about to start up in January, some other small groups that you'll hear about in the future. We also have a leadership system. And that's not just the deacons and pastor, but that's an example. Deacons, pastors, Bible study leaders, group leaders, Sunday school teachers, all those things. And hey, by the way, the reason that leadership class is important is called 360 Leadership. You may be thinking, well, I'm not in a leadership position. I can give you an example. I can give you several examples, but I can give you one clear example from the Scriptures where one of the lowest members of the household influenced in leadership one of the most powerful men in the kingdom, and got that person to do what they wanted them to do. That's leadership in an upward fashion. That's the low person on the pole getting the leader in the highest position to do what they want done. That's pretty neat. That's what 360 leadership is all about. It's about learning how to lead across, learning how to lead up, and learning how to lead down, learning how to lead in every direction around you. And that's what Jesus did. He was a leader in all aspects of leadership. And then we have the strategic system. That's how we plan things and do things like the building team is doing for us right now. And then the stewardship system, and that's how we move a first-time giver all the way through to being what's called an extravagant giver, where they realize that what they gave in the first, you know, the widow's mite they may have given the first time is just the beginning of a blessing, that they get to a point where everything they have is God's. And then they become an extravagant giver, and you can't outgive God. As we move forward, our nominating team and our leadership team and every member of the body should seek to understand these systems. And so remember, I said, if we keep doing church the way we've always done it, the world's going to keep laughing. We got to do it differently. We got to understand things that we didn't think about in the past. We got to understand assimilation is just as important as evangelism. If you go out and win a bunch of people to Christ and don't do anything with them, guess what happens? Yeah, they get pretty weak in their faith. They don't influence their world. So we need to learn all those things. All right, let me wrap up. Questions? Covered a lot of ground real fast. We've actually got some slides we can hand out. I didn't want to print a bunch tonight because some of you already have them. But if you want a copy of those slides and you don't already have them, we can get you a copy and maybe have them ready for you next week or whatever. If you have some questions about what you heard tonight, you can always email me, call me, come and see me or whatever, and we'll discuss it at great length. If you have a question now, I'd be glad to take it. All right, well, thank you for being a part of Lake Point 101. Let's pray, and then we'll be, Brother Anthony's going to come and lead us in our dismissing course. Let's pray. Father, how grateful we are for your goodness and mercy, and we just thank you, Lord, for the time together tonight to study your word and to learn about you. And we just ask, dear God, that you would help us grow in our knowledge of what it means to be a body of Christ, a body of believers, a fellowship of people committed together to walk together in faith. Lord, help us to do our part, to do what we can in this world for you. Help us to be available to fulfill the prayer that Christ prayed for us, that we would be one, the same team, moving in the same direction, doing the same thing, gaining the victory in Christ Jesus. And we'll give you the glory and honor for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.